It's time to get real, reality TV aficionados. Welcome to the Giorgio Says Podcast. I'm your host, the one and only Giorgio Takanakis, and I'm here serving you the juiciest updates on all your favorite reality shows weekly, as well as the hottest pop culture trends, and even exclusive interviews that will leave you wanting more. This podcast will keep you on the edge of your seat. We definitely need to talk about this. The Giorgio Says Podcast starts now.
All right, my friends. Happy Monday to all of you out there. It is an all-new episode of Giorgio Says the Podcast. And you know what we're here for. Well, maybe most of you know what we're here for today. Last night, we got the season 14 premiere of Real Housewives of New Jersey. The title of this episode was Birthday Bombshell. This episode was centered around basically the group of ladies coming together for the first time since last season for Jen Fessler's surprise 55th birthday party that is being thrown by Rachel Fuda. There's a lot to discuss. This episode was jam-packed, but it was quick-moving, and we ended it on a bang. So they are ready to get their hands dirty. First of all, we need to discuss the first 80 seconds of that episode premiere because it was just bone-chilling. Just love the way that they edited that because it just gives us a glimpse into what's going to go down this season. And in my opinion, the first 80 seconds of the episode was better than the trailer that was offered to us. So, and also the look that Dolores is giving while being seated at that table after the aftermath of what went down, like, she is all of our mothers, whether you realize it or not. Like, I was scared. I didn't even do anything wrong, but I was scared. That face. I remember coming home when I was younger from like sneaking out, going out to clubs and stuff. And I would come home and I knew I was going to get busted, but like, as long as I made it out, I didn't have to worry, you know, I'll deal with it when I get home kind of thing. But what I always forgot was that bone chilling look that either my mom would have on her face or my dad would have on his face when I would walk through that door. And there was no words. You couldn't say anything. It was over. This is the face that's what it's giving me. But anyways, we jump into the episode. I'm just going to jump right into the recap, guys, because it's just, I want to give you guys the full recap because my TikTok is a shorter recap. I try to pick out as much of the highlights as possible, but understanding that I don't want the recap to be too long. However, that's what the podcast is for. I'm going to kind of give you the full episode recap and all the little tidbits that I didn't touch on my TikTok or Instagram recap will be here. I will also mention that there is obviously still a lot of stuff going on outside of the show that has led up to the premiere that I am going to dive into and update everyone on my Patreon episode today. So if you are trying to catch up on what's been happening with New Jersey drama regarding Melissa's old nose, Jennifer Aiden, Teresa, all of it, the John Fuda of it all, then head over to my Patreon later today because I will be dropping an episode where I kind of update you on what's going on and how this pertains to what we're going to see this upcoming season. But back to the episode recap. So we're seeing some parallel storylines happening. So Melissa and Teresa are obviously not going to be speaking or acknowledging each other, and that goes for Joe Gorga as well. But the two are having a very similar experience because both of their daughters are getting ready to go away to college. And so we get these scenes of, you know, Teresa and Melissa essentially getting their daughters together, trying to organize everything. And it just makes me feel like how stressful it must be to send your child to college, A, because it's got to be so, so expensive. Then you've got to somehow pack enough stuff for them to take with them, knowing that they're only going to live in a very tiny space and share it with another person. So, like, for me, like, the particular scene where Melissa and her daughter are going through and she's, like, just kind of like, I'm just going to take everything. Like, that is my mindset. Like, there's no way I could just be like, oh, I'm just going to take three things for, like, the foreseeable future. Like, when are we... I don't know. Like, can't colleges come up with a better, like, storage situation? Because it feels like people are spending a lot of money. Like, you should just be able, at this point, like, why not just get them, like, an apartment? Like, I would probably, isn't it, well, maybe it doesn't come out cheaper nowadays because of inflation and all that nastiness with rent pricing and such. But I don't know. I don't think I could just dumb it down to just a few pairs of jeans, or, you know what I mean? Like, I need more variety. So that would stress me out. We then get Margaret Josephs, who is visiting Jen Fessler ahead of the birthday party. That is a surprise. And she brings her over a little gift, a little vibrator, if you will, a little vibrational, sensational TLC in terms of a tool. Which, you know what, this... At first, I was a little thrown off. It's a little bit of a personal gift, you know what I'm saying? But then, Jen Fessler lets us know that when she travels, she has to use her electric toothbrush. So, I'm not going to ask which end of the toothbrush, because I'm assuming there's only one end that vibrates, and it's the side that you typically would put in your mouth to then brush your teeth, right? What order are we? Are we brushing the teeth first? Because it really doesn't matter at the end of the day, because the cycle is already broken once it's left your mouth and gone to another sensitive body area. So, not sure. Also, why not just buy a separate electric toothbrush just for that reason? Why are we multitasking with something that goes in our mouth? I know it's on our body, but, like, still. Anyhow. The two then make it outside, have a little fruit salad. Love a good fruit salad. And, you know, Margaret opens up. She's very, very overwhelmed with life. Things are just moving at such a rapid speed. She doesn't really have the time to sit and think through things as much as she would like. We're coming up on the year of Jan's, death anniversary. And so that is bringing up some stuff. Her stepson has recently been engaged, and so the fact that Jan is not going to be here to see that stage of their stepson's life happen has been very emotionally triggering. And it seems like it's kind of thrown Margaret off of her kilter a little bit in terms of how she was situated within this family dynamic. Not that it was the best relationship she had with Jan. And not everybody was agreeable, but they were still a family nonetheless. She did speak with him on a regular basis. So he was very much a part of her life still. And I think now that he's gone, it represents a void that she's trying to kind of deal with. And then with trying to deal with that, you know, life is busy. Life is life. It life's and you can't do anything about it sometimes. So I think a lot of these feelings may have been repressed and or put, like I like to say, put in boxes and then put in a shelf and then we shut the door for a later time, but we never really get to it. So, you know, but then the topic of Teresa comes up because Jen Fessler then says, you know, she's been getting all these happy birthdays from people and it's been so nice. And, you know, that Teresa's been nothing but nice to her. She's never done anything rude or mean spirited to her. However, she does recall that there was, you know, a time in conversation where, you know, Margaret and her had come to some type of understanding that, look, if someone does you wrong, then I don't see those people anymore, you know? And so that was in regards to, like, the Teresa situation. And so Jen feels like, you know what? I have an in with Teresa. We don't have any bad blood. I think I should just sit down and talk to her and get to the bottom of this. Now, this is where Margaret kind of draws the line in the sand in terms of, we're making this very clear from the jump. I want nothing to do with Teresa as part of my storyline this season, because I'm going to prove that I don't need her for a storyline. And I'm happy that she did that because it lets, you know, it puts the kibosh on things when Jen's being asked by production to try to maybe, I don't know, have a conversation with Teresa to then try to get them to try to be open. But I think that that's kind of dead in the water. And I don't want to see that this season, quite frankly. I don't want to see Margaret and Teresa try to pretend repair a relationship. They don't like each other. The things that Louis has, you know, again, I'll say allegedly done to Margaret, her son, try to hurt her business, allegedly. This has been something that is not repairable, in my opinion. I don't think that it's fair to then expect people to just get over that type of stuff. So Margaret makes it very clear, I don't want my name mentioned in anything regarding any conversation you have with Teresa. I don't want to be a part of it. She is dead to me. And that's that. But we know that Jen Fessler doesn't hold up her end of the bargain when it comes to that, because she does then, we know she ends up befriending Teresa more. And there's even stuff that Jen tells Teresa about the meeting with regards to the reunion for season 13 that they discussed as well, that comes up in another scene with Teresa, Dolores, Polly, and Louis. But, you know, the thing about this whole situation is we're setting the groundwork, basically, for how the season's going to go. Because as we know, I know way too much about season 14, and that's only because of everything that's been going on outside of the show, quite frankly. But the things that are going to be discussed on this season and the tactics that we're seeing play out outside the show that are quote unquote being exposed is very interesting, specifically watching episode one, because the things that were detailed and talked about happening happened verbatim. So I have a lot of questions there. But again, I'm going to reserve that for the Patreon because there are updates. Now, back to the episode. We then have, you know, Melissa and Joe. They're discussing that, you know, Jen Fessler's birthday party's coming up. And Melissa's just kind of on this, like, should I go? Should I not go? Because the reunion didn't leave off in a way that would make anyone feel comfortable. And not for nothing, but then we have a flashback to Teresa telling Melissa that she's never going to see her again after that night. And surprise, Melissa's still here. So it's like, you know what I mean? So this is where we're starting to see, like, okay, this is the divide that we all heard about that happened this season. Let's see how this actually plays out. And I have to say, like, they just existed in the same room. There was no issue whatsoever. And I honestly think that this is the best thing for everyone involved. The show, the cast, the people in between. I really think this is for everyone's benefit. And I think everyone's going to be much happier. And who knows what time down the road will bring everyone. But right now, this is so needed. I just wanted to make that clear. But we also get a scene with Teresa and Louis, and you know, we're getting a family scene, right? Because we want to show that everything is blended nicely and everyone's supportive. The you know, step siblings are helping each other clean up the kitchen after dinner. We get a little glimpse into Teresa's and Louis's wedding album. So, you know, just meant to be more wholesome, right? We want to prop this family up like they are so great, so amazing. Not to say that they're not, but it just felt a little bit produced, this scene, the whole family just kind of, you know, working together and just being on the same team and team. And, you know, it's great if that's really what's going on. But from the outside, it doesn't feel like that's authentic. But nonetheless, we have a show to make. I get it. Now, we get to a dinner scene where Dolores, Teresa, Louis, Polly all meet up for dinner and they're catching up. But then Teresa basically says that Frank Sr. let her know and Louis know, coincidentally, that after last year's reunion, everyone planned to meet up at Margaret's house to basically come after Teresa and Louis at the reunion. And side note there, well, a couple side notes, and Dolores says one of them, but one side note I have on this is that pertaining to last year's reunion, there was a ton of things going on outside of the show that Margaret was trying to prove Louis was involved in, specifically when it came to her deal with Walmart and the fact that Louis allegedly called her son at his place of work and threatened him. So the meeting was a meeting of the minds, which is why we have that part where they're trying to get Frank to talk about, you know, Frank Catania's son working with Louis's experience and how initially it said it was negative, but obviously Dolores didn't want that to be a storyline. So she basically ejected her son out of it immediately. So everyone chilled on that. But essentially, it was not so much of a let's take them down because we have nothing else going on for us. It was a point of exposing something that, you know, needs to happen sometimes in situations like this. Because unfortunately, whether you're on Team Teresa or Team Melissa, there's no question that there was unnecessary investigation going on from the Teresa Louis side. There just was. It doesn't matter what the reasons were. It doesn't matter if everyone wants to come back and say, well, all the housewives do this stuff. They always dig up dirt on everyone. Yes, to a much smaller degree. I've never seen such vitriol come out of a franchise like I've seen come out of New Jersey when it airs, the leading up to it, and a month or two after it's done airing. I've never seen anything like it. And if you're a content creator who covers Real Housewives of New Jersey, if you know, you know. And I guess depending on which side of the fence you lean towards will depend on what kind of experience you have. But what I will say is that it's not uncommon. Housewives have always met up before the reunion. Everyone wants to be prepared. That's what the reunion's for. So it's not weird that the people are meeting up. There's issues going on. Of course, people are going to meet up to have each other's back and talk out what happened the season from their point of view and what they need to bring up and how they can clarify things. So it's being twisted in a way to make it seem like everyone planned this meeting and poor Louis was just sitting there like a saint and then they were plotting against him, you know, and it just makes it seem so scandalous, and it's not. And even Dolores said, it's not uncommon. This is something that we do before the reunion. But we also start to see where Polly is maybe being entranced by the Louis and Teresa camp because, you know, he's getting the firsthand story about this text message that Louis sent to John Fuda in regards to the alleged investigation that he was doing on John Fuda, his ex-wife, and so on and so forth. And John Fuda was basically like, I'll just see you at the party, bro. Like, I'm not meeting you up for a coffee to just talk this out man to man, because if you were a real man, you wouldn't have done this to begin with. And I get it from John's point. I know a lot of people are going to argue, well, he was being the adult and they should meet up privately and talk about it. Privately how? Privately on camera or privately off camera? Because it should absolutely be on camera. Now, whether or not you want it at this party or you want it outside of the party or you want it at whatever, but like, you, if you want this to be a private one-on-one, then all bets are off. No, you're going to explain this to me on camera. And you're going to explain to me why there was an investigator looking up stuff about my ex-wife. You know? So we obviously get the setup that, you know, Louis sent the message. Always coming from a great place, right? Off the surface, you're like, no, the way he, you know, approached the situation with John Fuda was actually really great, right? On the offset. But you know that that's not what the actual intention behind it is. It's to further manipulate the story and further confuse John Fuda and make him think something that's not actually happening when in fact it looks like it's actually happening. You know, all these people can't be wrong. They just can't. They just can't. And this is one franchise for me where I really got to pay close attention to these headlines, because I learned the last two seasons that this is a pattern that's being pointed out right now, by the way, that I'm, again, I hate to keep plugging my Patreon, but please subscribe to my Patreon. There's a ton of fun content exclusively on there. But one thing that I'm covering on there is the update on what's going on with these receipts that Melissa's old nose keeps dropping. But they all seem to point out a pattern nonetheless. Somebody somewhere is planting things to be posted so that then cast members can bring them up on camera. And that's not the most abnormal thing, but it's the way in which they're going about doing it so that they can have the post available for when the camera goes up. That's where it gets a little weird for me and a little wackadoodle, because it's like, how would that randomly just come up? Like, some of these things, right? The thing that they end up bringing up about John Fuda, right? Jennifer Aiden brings it up first. So it's always this like pattern of Teresa never says anything first. She's just reacting to the news. She's just talking about what she heard. So technically speaking, yes, that's true. But you knew because you... I can't go into this one because I just want to stick to the episode. So I'm going to really try my hardest to save this for the Patreon as much as possible, guys. But because I have so much to say about it. But nonetheless, we have this whole situation going on where it's clear that John Fuda is going to be a target for Teresa and Louis this season. Because right off the bat, we're seeing Teresa talk about the double-headed dildo, the fingers in the butt. Like, this type of stuff, no one randomly is just going to put out there about someone. I'm not saying it never would happen, but I'm saying the likelihood of it happening is very slim to none. So it just comes off very produced. Like, we were waiting for people to post these things, so that way we would have something to then say we saw it and then have a reason to bring it up. So no one can say, oh, you made up a rumor. Well, I saw it on Twitter. I saw it on X. I saw it on this random troll account. So it's like there's not even any real levity to anything. It's just whoever. Someone posted it and I saw it, you know? And it's dangerous. It's really dangerous, because imagine if someone had said that they had, let's just say this was the other way around. And Rachel, Melissa, Margaret, they had all these troll bot accounts go digging for dirt on Louis, as a lot of people said that they were, which no one needed to dig for Louis's stuff, to be clear. It was already out there and it was, you know, make up your own mind at this point from what you see, but no one really needed to dig. This is something you really had to work and dig at. So it would be as if, let's say we went and dug up some random personal information about Louis that makes no difference to anyone because it doesn't impact anyone. And we use that and get the troll accounts on X, Twitter to post about it. And then up cameras go, and then looky dooky here. Did you see that tweet about Louis and what he likes in his bum bum? What? There would be a firestorm from the Teresa tree stumps. Because it would not go over well if that came out. She would lose her effing mind. So the fact that they're doing this, they're just trying to get, they are baiting John. They want John to argue with Teresa so that they can turn around and say, see, he's fighting with a woman. Disgusting. When in fact, at least from last night's episode, I have not obviously seen the entire season like a lot of the Trey Stumps out there. But he's allowed to defend himself. I'm not sure where we got lost in the sauce here about like Teresa can just say whatever she wants out of the side of her mouth and he's supposed to sit there mute. Well, if that's the case, then none of these guys need to be on this show. They need to just center it around the women. But the men are a big part of this particular show, so they have to interact. And if you're going to go after and make stuff up, yeah, you need to be ready for the defense. He didn't just come in there and start going after you. So when if anyone wants to jump out and say, oh, he was attacking a woman, yeah, okay. Good luck with that. That's what I'll say, because that's not at all what he was doing. And yes, it would have been completely different had he storm raged up to Teresa out of nowhere and started going off on her. Then yeah, that would have been attacking her. But she brought it up. She was on her way out and she waited and waited. No one brought it up yet. So she decided, you know what? Screw it. Jennifer already brought it up in the car on the way here. I'm just going to say it, you know, double-headed dildo John Thuda, and your husband's the biggest drug dealer in Bergen County for the last 20 years. There, boom. Shots fired. And it's just like, but this is your queen. This is the one that doesn't need John Thuda for a storyline. Well, if she doesn't need him, then why was she working so hard to get dirt on him to have stuff brought up so that she would have something to go after? Because what else is her storyline this season? Please tell me, did I miss something? Everyone gets so defensive around Teresa. No one's debating on whether she's the queen of Real Housewives of New Jersey. No one's ever questioned that. My question is about season 14. I don't care about everything else. If this is what you've got this season, then yeah, John Thuda is right. You needed him for a storyline. You worked really hard for it, from what it looks like, allegedly. So, yeah, more and more, I'm turned off. Why? Because it's just not authentic. It's so produced. You have to work so hard to have a storyline ahead of time so that you can be in control as much as possible of the narrative that is put out there about you. And I get it from the longevity that she's been on a show like Real Housewives. I can imagine, to some degree, everyone does a little bit of that padding because it's essential. I get it. So I'm not knocking her for maybe having things set up for a storyline purpose, but to fully produce things to this level and get accounts to have posted something so that you have an opportunity to say you saw it, so therefore I'm bringing it up, is wild. And the fact that you chose to go after John Thuda means you have no one else. You're not going to try to go after Margaret because she's so beneath you. You're not going to go after Melissa because you'll look really crazy because you said you're never going to talk to her after that night of the reunion. So what are you going to do? Go up to her and start another fight with her about something else? Like, that doesn't make sense. So we don't get a lot of Danielle or Jennifer Aiden in this episode, not really until the end, because Jennifer Aiden was away in Italy with her husband on holiday, and I'm not sure. There was nothing really going on with Danielle. But we did get her at the party, and, you know, everyone pulled it off with a hitch. Rachel did an amazing job with this party. I thought it was very nice, very lovely, very Jen Fessler. She cracks me up. She is a hoot. And for anyone asking if she's really like that in real life, yes, I met her officially for the first time at BravoCon, and she is a hoot. Everything you see on TV is everything that you get. She is so funny. And I don't even think she even knows how funny she is sometimes. But nonetheless, she is absolutely surprised. And apologies, I keep saying Rachel as if Rachel's the only person that planned this, but it was also being planned by Jeff Fessler, who is Jen Fessler's husband. So not trying to throw Jeff out of the equation. They both handled this surprise party beautifully for Jen. But unfortunately, you know, I mean, I guess the party could have gone way worse, but the group of guys are talking. It's clear Louis is not going to show up for this because he's got an impromptu meeting in Florida that he had to jet off to. And, you know, Polly, you know, he starts to talk about you know, look, I met up with Teresa and Louie and Dolores for dinner. I've already seen these text messages that you're about to talk about. I feel, and this is where Paulie starts to get in the mess, because he's like, I feel like that's the type of conversation you should have one-on-one, not at a place like this, right? And that obviously ruffles John Fuda's feathers a little bit, because it's starting to sound like, and even Joe Gorga kind of chimed in like, so wait, you backing this guy up now? Like, because it sounds a little bit like, you drank some of the Kool-Aid, it seems. And I understand and respect Dolores's like Switzerland, you know, stance on this whole thing. So it's interesting that he's kind of on his own, taking his own initiative to like, kind of, in my opinion, activate within the guy group, because, you know, you can't have everyone being supportive of John Fuda. There's a storyline between the guys here now, too. So we see this back and forth. John Fuda is clearly in, like, he's stressed out. You can see it in his face. He obviously knows about the tweets that dropped about, you know, things that he likes allegedly to do with fingers in his butt and double-headed dildos, which, again, I don't understand how old everyone is and this is the material we're looking for. Who cares if he did? Who cares if he fucking did? You know, some of you guys, well, I'm not going to go down that road. It just, it's a, like, it's so stupid. That's a high school move. You like fingers in your butt. Like, okay, great. And next? Maybe I do. What does it matter? Like, it could have just, like, you could have just stuck to the whole, like, drug dealer in Bergen County bit. That would have been enough. That, in and of itself, is, like, enough. But you drag it and make it more juvenile and so petty by dragging in this whole butt play stuff. Why? Because you worked hard to get that info. So you were excited to unleash it on camera. That's why it was, like, you couldn't wait. And when you were leaving, it was just like, okay, it's not going to happen. Okay, I'm going to just bring it up. Yeah, like, you know what you're doing too, doll. You're not just showing up to filming and people are just coming for you. No one came for you. No one even bothered you from what it looked like. No one even bothered to even give you any attention whatsoever. And everyone looked like they were having a grand old time. You know what's really interesting is how this whole Jackie and Margaret friendship that's going to fall apart this season. Because we get like a little bit of a preview of the remix, because we have this, you know, scene where we have Melissa, Jackie, and Margaret all standing and talking about how Jackie's going to go on Melissa's podcast and how Melissa got an early copy of the book so that they could discuss it and promote it. And Margaret's like, wow, I didn't even get an early copy of the book. I want to read it. And like kind of gave this like, why didn't I get a copy of the book kind of thing. But I don't think in the moment she's thinking like, oh, what did you write about me? Me just like, oh, that's weird. Like, why would you not let me read it first? And understandably, she gave it to Melissa again because she's going on her podcast and Melissa needs the material so that they can have the conversation around it. But you can already tell this is where things are going to start to get a little sticky. Side note, not feeling that top that Jackie was wearing. Not that it matters. I just feel like it looked like someone tied a piece of tissue around her. Like, check in with Candace. Does she have all of her triangles or did one go missing when she passed through New Jersey at some point? I'm not sure. But yeah, essentially, this party was all in all great. The guys got into it a little bit because John Fuda obviously is defensive about all the things that came out about him on that day. And then we have, you know, Rachel, who is, you know, she's just trying to make sure everything's going off without a hitch. And then here comes Teresa, and then she gets in her face and is like, you know, your husband was rude. He didn't want to meet my husband, who was being a gentleman. Your husband's was the biggest drug dealer in Bergen County for the 20 years. And, you know, then we have, you know, her walk off with Jen Aiden and they're storming off to this candy table that this, like, this woman is essentially, like, holding up, right? And they're just snatching candy left and right. I mean, Starburst, sour gummies, and the things are, the half the stuff they're grabbing is flying. Like, she is not putting anything in her bag. She's just throwing things, and they're just going to the floor. And she is cursing Rachel and John Fuda's name like it is no one's business. And that woman holding the table up is just smiling and smiling and pretending as if she is not hearing all this crazy stuff, and she has no reaction. Because if that was me, I would be a viewer of the show. Like, I would not be able to, I would have broken character and been like walking over there, wobbling my little candle table ass over closer to hear what the hell was going on. But she was very professional, so shout out to you, because I couldn't have done it. But then John comes walking by, and Teresa snaps her head back, and she's like, hi, double-headed dildo. And Rachel's like, wait, Teresa, tell John what you just said. Now, here's where a lot of you guys don't like Rachel. I don't know why. This is only her second season, and she's absolutely got to get in there and get in the mix if she's going to be on the show. So I'm not sure what you guys expect her to do. If she sat there like a dud, you guys would roast her. And when she does get in the mix, y'all like, who do you think you are? She's a full-time housewife. That's who she is. And she's got to be clocked in and ready to work. So this was her moment. She gets up. She is fully activated. So she walks up to Teresa and she's like, no, before you go, tell John what you just said about him. And Teresa's like, you were a drug dealer. You like them. And John's just like, you know what? Like, absolutely insane that you are blasting me and coming for me like this, but you're not even letting me have a response to anything. So the whole thing is just blowing up. Meanwhile, you know, Jen Fessler's up there having the time of her life, as she should. So this is going to play out very interestingly. Now, I'm going to say that this episode was a bit spoiled for me because I already knew what was going to transpire after listening to Melissa's Old Nose on Dana Wilkie's Patreon. I now know what the entirety of the season will be about, as well as what happens at that chaotic lunch that we saw in the first 80 seconds. I mean, details. So if we're already on track thus far with what I heard about this episode, I'm a little concerned at what the bigger impact of all of this is going to be for not just Real Housewives of New Jersey, but all of them. Because why are we letting troll accounts come up with storylines for cast members who get paid a lot of fucking money? Why are we conspiring to this level? That's what's needed in order for people to have a great dramatic storyline. There's nothing else. I'm going to get into all this on my Patreon today because it's just, I don't know. I have mixed feelings. Like, I'm still obviously going to watch and recap it, but it's just disappointing that cast members involve the fans to such a degree because they want so much buy-in power when it comes to their narrative online. And whether you believe all this Melissa Old Nose stuff or you don't, the real question is, why is it that she knows as much as she does? Because it seems like everyone just wants to deflect and not focus on what is actually being said here, rather than let's look at all the shady stuff that she's done. And the other thing, and I'm going to make a post on my Instagram, I will not be referencing any of the scenes on my TikTok or Instagram recaps regarding any of the children, specifically on New Jersey. I don't care if it's the only storyline. I will not talk about it. I have seen the most disgusting things when it comes to the children of this particular franchise, and I'm not going to have that play into the comment section. I'm going to stick to the adults and the adults only. I'm so sorry. I don't think that whatever storyline's happening with any of the children is that strong that it not being a part of the recap is going to throw it off. Now, I will obviously talk about it lightly as part of the show in my extended recap that I do for you guys on the podcast. I'm referring to my shorter TikToks and the recaps I do for TikTok and Instagram, because that's where the comment section starts at point. And I put a lot of filters on, but it still creeps in. And it's disheartening to see that grown adults speak about children in the way that they do. Nonetheless, I think this episode was a great episode one, great premiere, a great way to end it and get us started. It's nice to see that the housewives drought is, you know, officially over. You know, it was rough, but we made it through. But yeah, so that pretty much is the episode, birthday bombshells. I want to hear what you guys have to say. Head on over to my Instagram or my TikTok. Let me know your thoughts. If you're not subscribed to my Patreon, you should get subscribed. It is so much exclusive content. It's one tier. And let me just tell you, I'm doing this Giorgio Says Investigates. I just dropped the Taylor Armstrong episode last week. This week, I am going to be doing the episode around the cult-like fandom around the key players of Real Housewives of New Jersey and all that fun stuff. So that will be airing either Wednesday or Thursday on my Patreon. So please go check it out. I'm also doing rewatch series where I'm currently rewatching Real Housewives of DC, and I'm going to start rewatching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills as well sometime this week. So lots to look forward to on the Patreon. And yeah, that's all I have for you on this Monday. I hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your day, and I hope you have an amazing week ahead. And until the next episode, guys, I will talk to you on the next one. Bye.
Thanks for listening, guys and gals. This was Giorgio Says. Like and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And for all the latest updates, go follow Giorgio Says on Instagram. See you next time.